He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.
Should we just discuss that topic we were discussing before we went on the air about the subscription car services that are popping up to sort of, there are going to be so many programs you won't be able to figure out what you're supposed to do other than go broke?
Well, the basic way it was presented was Netflix for cars, which makes it all sound very benign and, oh, cool, what? This is a wonderful option. It sounded really diabolical to me, but I don't know very much about it. So that's what, basically that's where we started. And who wants to weigh in?
Well, I read about this one article that we know about that was describing it was
CNBC.
It was CNBC, correct? Yep. And they were talking about two different companies, and I remember the name of one was Flexibility with, for some reason, a lowercase f. So
that was Flex something and Netflix were the two things that caught my mind, and it was like, oh, this is benign.
And the concept is pretty simple and appealing in the sense that you just walk into a dealership, you pay a flat fee, a monthly fee, and you walk away with the car, and everything is included. The
insurance.
Insurance is included,
registration,
warranty, maintenance. Although there's always, there's always the little
whatever they can stuff them up full of, they will do.
It all sounds beautiful. You get tired of the car, you need another car to go on the weekend. You turn it in, you get another car. The reality is, first of all, I don't know if you saw the average cost, the average monthly rental for these cars was around $800, and they were saying on the lower end you had $300-$400, and on the higher end you could rent pretty much, or you could rent or
rent
flex
up
or
whatever
the term is, a McLaren or Ferrari for like $4,500 a month. Well, keep in mind that cars have become more expensive, and I think the average car payment on a new car in 2018 is around $500. And what surprised me actually is the average payment on a used car is only just under $400. So out there, where we know there are more used cars being sold than new cars, people on the whole only pay, 20% less for their car when they buy a used car than when they buy a new car, which I guess makes, you can understand that because some people just buy a nicer used car and you have great deals out there. So used cars are not necessarily cheap cars, and that's all fine. But the rental, the flexibility thing is you're paying a lot of money to have that option of turning the car in and walking out with another one. And, it doesn't even seem all that practical. I mean, we all have stuff in our cars, What are you going to do, turn it in?
Clean it out every month?
I know, some of us.
Some of us don't clean
some
up.
Some of us use our cars as storage bins.
That's right.
Still remain nameless.
Yes.
They could,
right, Robin?
Right.
But, is buying the cheapest of all? Is buying cheaper than leasing is cheaper than renting is cheaper than, how does that egg?
It's voodoo economics in my book. Car prices are going up. The best way to assess Jay's last comment about what it costs per month to purchase a car on time is to look at the ads for the 0% financing for 5 years or 6 years or whatever it is, and in the small print down below, since there's no interest on there, it's a flat, it's principal every month, they usually say it's like $16.67 per $1,000 of borrowed money or of loaned money. To pay off that loan over 5 years. So $16.67 times $30,000 is over $480 a month. I think Jay was talking $500 a month range for a $30,000 car. Double it, and it's $1,000 a month. This is before the interest is added in. And invariably, interest-free loans are disappearing, although the manufacturers will probably hold out and offer them in lieu of cut-rate pricing, because that's the alternative, is to give you $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 off the car if you pay cash for it, as opposed to getting that same amount of money back in financing plans
I just realized what the flexitarian fits in. I'm just making that up. Okay. And that is for people, because gradually and equally diabolically, car loans have increased in length. So now they're 60 years and
60 months.
Joking.
Okay.
But,
oh, sorry.
Length.
But they're way, instead of 3 years or 4 years,
they're
seven, eight. There are a lot of people who don't even, you know, can't even fathom keeping a car for 8 years and then being underwater in the car anyway.
I don't think you think about it until you're into the fourth or fifth year and you start wondering when you can get a new car, because
and
the new cars
can't.
Come out and you're still got 3 years of payments
or things start falling off. And
hold on, but I've made the case before that. Payment plans are longer, but let's be honest, cars are better built than they used to be, and we can. Now, whether we want to is a different story, but
we can keep
the cars, and they're still perfectly fine after 7 or 8 years.
They are.
And 150,000 miles.
Most of the time.
Can I just say something? I come from a generation where you didn't – I mean, if you were of a certain socioeconomic level, then you traded your car in every week or so. The rest of us drove our car until basically the dealer or the mechanic said, you know, you really have to give it up. And even then, you kept it for a year. So I drive an old car. But to me, it's almost generational. You've now got a generation who appear to have been, hey, 3 years is the max because that's a lease. And the great thing about leasing is you can just dump out of it and you get fresh. So I don't know that those two wires are touching.
I think there's a case to be made, and there's not one good answer. I mean, I know people who lease a car. If you have a small business and you can write off the expense of a car, it is easier to do, and sometimes fiscally more advantageous to lease a car. If you don't drive all that much and the leasing, the terms are, let's say, 12,000 miles for 30 months, and you just happen to do, whatever the number is, and that coincides with
your lifestyle.
And the terms of the lease, then it's fine.
Well, the point of all this discussion that we're having, which is all wonderfully to talk about, is that you've got to be a genius to figure out how to weed through all these different programs, or else you're going to get taken one way or the other down the line. Now, for example, I've leased my current new 19 Jeep Cherokee for 3 years with 36,000 miles. I have 12,000 miles a year that I have for that. And if I were a traveling salesman, I would know with my only vehicle, there'd be no way I could stay within that particular mileage range.
But
and if you look at the fine print, as you have seen on TV, over the mileage, it starts going like 25 cents a mile.
But when I leased my first car from VW, the first one that I didn't buy, we made extra sure because at
you
that time I was
miles.
Going back. You buy miles at the beginning, and then you sort of don't notice
but
it.
But your lease rates go up.
But relatively... it's much worse at the end when you're paying, like you don't.
And you also have damage issues, you know, if you've dinged your car up or something like that. There are all sorts of things at the end of a lease which they can tack on.
I know somebody who just turned in a leased Subaru and drove off the lot with another one, but they slammed him with a new set of tires on the way in. So he paid for a set of tires that he never used. And like he said, had I known, I would have changed the tires.
Exactly.
Had I thought about it, because he's not.
No, but it's just one of those things. Had I focused on this particular thing? But we have a mutual friend who did not buy extra miles and was sitting there calculating how she could get to, you know, she had X number of days and X number of this, and how was she going to go see hers, which to me seems as ridiculous as having to worry about when your charge is going to run out.
My philosophy is if you lease a car that has a high resale value, if you lease cars, and we know, and I'll cite a few, if you lease a Honda, if you lease a Subaru, you lease a Toyota, I hate to name all these Japanese manufacturers that are well known to have high resale values.
But they do.
And I know that, you know, there was a case, and this goes back 10 years or so. You could lease a CRV for $200 a month, and the fine print was the car was, you could buy the car out at a crazy number that was still $15,000 or so. After two years or 30 months, But the point is, the dealer would, right there and then, you would technically, on paper, buy the car for 15, but they were giving you $17,000 for the car if you bought a new one. So now you already had $2,000 down on the lease on the next car. But if you buy a car that loses, like a high-end luxury brand.
Yeah. Rolls-Royce.
Well, I don't even.
Bentley.
But, even the well-known brands like Mercedes and Audis, where they take a beating in the first year, and you lease one of those cars, and you have to buy it out after 2 years, there is no good deal. I mean, you're underwater.
Right.
So again, all these options are are case by case and different, and you just.
And Robin's point is very well taken. You've got to be a forensic accountant. You've got to understand what you're looking at.
Well, which brings me into a next topic I want to talk about, which was, how do you order a car if you know anything about the car you want to buy and you know what options to put on? Everything is being done online these days, and theoretically you can go online, and all the manufacturers have all their vehicles listed online, and then they have a configure your vehicle section in which you go in and start designing the exterior, the wheels, the interior, and all that. It's amazing. Just going back to your last week's show, which I closed you out on, catalogs. They are disappearing, or they've been a disappearing, they've been taking on a disappearing act at dealer showrooms on many lines, either because the dealers are not ordering the catalogs, which costs them money, because they're assuming they can do everything online, and they also want you to come in and sit with a salesperson who has all the manufacturer stuff on a website that you and I can't get on public. For example, the Jeep Cherokee that I lease has a nice catalog, but I couldn't get a catalog for the some Dodge vehicles in the dealership. But going through this particular catalog, which is quite thick and glossy and very pretty, nowhere in there was there the ability to design the actual vehicle I ended up leasing, which just happened to be what was on a dealer lot, and it happened to be what I wanted. I went online to try to configure this same vehicle the same way this sales window sticker had, and I could not do it.
And that is a hugely important point, because this, many, many years ago, there was an architect who said, we can sit and we can build the whole thing and it's going to be fun. And I said, no, just draw the plans, because I can't.
I price it or something.
Yeah. And it's almost like a fun, by the time you've designed your own car, you've also designed, as far as I can tell, about $7,800 into the thing that you may not be able to get and you may not have wanted to spend.
True. And we'll close out this little sideline here on how to order a car. It is the vehicle I leased was stickered at $32,120. It had two options above the baseline of the vehicle I leased. One was the ubiquitous, wonderful Jeep cold weather package, which is I can also find configured at different prices and different levels of the Jeep Cherokee, apparently. And new Turbo 4 engine, which is absolutely the class engine for this vehicle if you're not towing. And the rant sign has just gone up. But we'll get to you in a minute, Jay. So it totaled out to $32,120. I went to the dealer and said, look, can you get me what I lease from you for a friend of mine, if I bring him up to show to buy a car from you? And he said, sure, anything you want. And then I said, well, how much is it going to be? And he went in and came out with $34,000-something for what he claimed was the same vehicle I got. And I don't know what he was doing, but I can't find online how to configure vehicles these days. And actually, the dealers don't want you to be able to do it, I don't think, because they make their money selling you whatever they've got on their lot. Whatever they've got on their lot. They want to sell what's on their lot as opposed to order a new vehicle.
Well, they don't want to. They need to.
Right. They need to.
So we live in a society of instant gratification. People don't want to wait for their car, nor do they want to wait for anything else. When I go to Europe and I see large dealerships, they're still limited with 10 or 20 cars on their lots. The mentality in Europe is you buy a car, you may go in and you test one, and then you say, well, no, I want it, you know, black, and I want, you know, the wheels to be like this. And,
Jill's a perfect case.
And you spec order it, and 6 weeks later, there's your car.
And it doesn't come in with something you didn't want. It comes in with something else you didn't want.
We look at the numbers in the trade newspaper, which you're holding right in front of you. There's a page where they give on a regular basis the number of days cars sit on lot for each one of the manufacturers in this country. And, you know, and I'm thinking of figures I saw a few weeks ago, but we're looking at 80, 90 days. Cars sit in inventory.
They'd like them at 60 to 70 to turn the cars. But once you start going above 90 days, it's starting to cost them more money than the floor planning that they hope they can get all these cars turned.
But here's my point. Every car that is sold sits on the lot for almost 3 months, for 2 to 3 months. You're not the first person to look at that car, but by the time you're looking at it, they want that particular car to get off the lot.
Correct.
And...
That's the one that's going to may have the best special
price on it. And
that's
why there is no incentive on their part to have a website where you click and spec order your car.
Right.
And you know, I personally think, and I've said this for a long time, but it gets old, but I think the model is just totally antiquated in this day and age. You know, it was 20 years ago you could buy a Dell computer and get it in 3 or 5 days. And this was... You know, 15 years ago.
And you could order it just the way you want it.
But right, which is all good. But you have to design infrastructure. What happened that model, quote, got abused, and people, there were some businesses and so forth that got rid of inventory entirely, which is a problem if you are a store. But if you adopt, for example, the European model, or like these are the cars.
But it's a combination of factors that come in. There's certainly a mentality within the consumer, but there is also a big factor, I think, is the whole notion of dealership and the franchise laws we have in this country, and they vary state by state. But basically, in a nutshell, dealerships have, and that's why you have very strong association of dealerships, and you have. Huge chain of dealerships now. Dealerships are not mom and pop operations anymore. You look at Penske, you look at CarMax. There are a bunch of dealerships. Dealerships usually have 10, 20, 30, 40 stores of multiple brands. So there's no loyalty of a dealer to any particular brand.
Right.
And so they're in there to make money, and they're not about to let their piece of the pie go.
They're in there to make money, but they're also in there to avoid as long a financing on a particular car as they can. I was horrified to see that Ingersoll, GMC Chevrolet on Route 22 going to New York looks like a damn storage lot for the manufacturer's manufacturing thing.
It is a storage lot.
There are so many vehicles on that lot. I do not know how many vehicles they can move off that lot each week to the selling public.
But my question is, could you
paying for those vehicles?
But could you go onto that lot and make a deal?
Probably.
Yeah.
But then you're going to enter the realm of the dealership world of where the salespeople churn you through the system, and you walk out probably paying more than you went in to pay, unless you are so skilled in knowing what you want, and you just sit there and set a limit, as I know somebody does, and he usually wins. He says, I'm not paying more than $32,000 for a $40,000 vehicle.
And the make it work.
And somehow the dealer makes it work. And the best thing you can do is to say thank you very much if they won't do your price and walk off. And it's very
call
likely
you the next
that
day.
They'll call you within 24 to 72 hours and say, oh, Ms. Goodman.
We made a mistake.
We made a mistake. We can deliver the car you want at the price. When can you come down and sign the contract?
You, Robin, like to do that song and dance and find the time to do it. And
not many of us do, though.
But not many of us do.
Right.
If I know what car I want, I may have gone and tested a car in the dealership and walked away, you know, from the lot. I invariably go back, and I suggest people do, and I come back with this same notion of going to Auto Trader or car.com, and you just spec out the car you want, and within the radius you're willing to drive to go and get it. And the last car I bought, I flew down to Georgia to pick it up. I knew what I wanted. I found the car. I flew down.
But that's an option.
And you and I are in the minority of the kinds of buyers that...
I don't know.
There are numerous ones of us that want to do it that way. But the general public, when you're selling... how many cars a month are going out? 17 million a year.
That number's going down real fast.
Going down, but it means 1.5 million vehicles are going out somewhere off the lot every month.
And all I would say is I think that there is probably an underserved group that would be very happy to be educated so that they could find the car they actually wanted for a price they actually wanted to pay instead of being sort of
shunted into a system. Achieve that successfully. Okay?
And I have always, just as a recommendation, if you happen to be one of those people and don't want to take the time to learn how to do it, find a Robin or a Jay. Really and truly, because it will take years of stress off your life.
There are professional car buyers out there for anybody who wants to. The Hollywood world and the sports world are people who hire people to do all their purchasing for them.
Yeah, I think it's more finding someone who knows and is comfortable doing it.
Well, and people do it. People come up to us all the time and ask for advice. And, you know, it's like always in life, people either take
it
or don't.
But here's some advice I got fed this weekend. What's in a name? What is in a name? The new Subaru Ascent is the example I'm going to bring, not close the show with, but talk about. I sat with some ladies this weekend at a coffee shop, and we got going about cars, and one of them said she was out looking for a new car, and she has a Subaru Outback right now, but she needs the bigger one, the new Ascent. And she says, you know what? I don't like the name Ascent. And I said, well, what does that have to do with the car? I don't know. I don't like it, and I'm probably not going to buy it because I don't like Ascent. Now, your manufacturers go through
I wanted to be a namer. I've always wanted to be a paint namer, car namer, life namer.
And I said, well, why don't you go look at the Volkswagen Atlas? That's a strong name, the Atlas. Right. And she said, does it have three rows of seats? And I said, yes, it does have three rows of seats.
Well, how can you not want Ascent? Ascent goes up.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I said, maybe you need a Descent. We laughed over this little sideline comment. But this woman actually was thinking about whether or not she'd buy the Ascent because of the name, nothing else, because she knows Subarus are good cars, and she likes her Outback. But she needs a bigger one, but she doesn't like the name. So who knows what she'll do?
You know what? I'm sure you can buy a little badge.
I used to remember how
they're glued on. They're not even drilled. The holes aren't even put in the back.
Robin, you once said, I once had a huge thing with Torrington Isuzu. I said, I just don't like your logos. Like it disturbs my aesthetic. Don't put it on.
In Europe, you can order Audis and BMWs and Mercedes and maybe other cars without the plaques.
And
on
some of the manufacturers offer it as a paying option.
Yeah.
Others as a free option. And I did see recently, and that is total.
Can you imagine paying for not having
the
names?
I saw a GL Mercedes in Lakeville with just the Mercedes logo. You have to keep the brand logo on, but without the GL or GLS, it didn't say if it was a 450, a diesel, or 550. Right. And I thought, there you go. That's the way.
Right. Well, I never.
When your own initials are enough.
I never gave this a thought, and we got to close until I had to get my trunk and my Hyundai Sonata Hybrid redone. And it turned out that I could save approximately $250 if I didn't get the nameplates
put
back on. Well, just wait a minute. And so I deleted them and saved myself whatever the money they were going to charge me for the nameplates.
You could have saved
just
even more money if you had looked behind you and not backed into the car next to you or
thanks,
the tree.
Oh, thanks, Jay. This is what we really need.
This is just what Car Keys listeners want to hear.
And one more last thing on a sadder note. GM is closing a bunch of plants, and we'll get back to that maybe
next week.
We will
get back to that next week, because that's a big discussion that we didn't get to this week.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.